kitchen fair, I bought the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just won't go.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of Fireside Chat with David James. I just received an email from a brother who's very frustrated with what's going on with these Muslims. And recently, in case you haven't heard, there were two women, I believe they're from Sweden. I'm pretty sure they were from Sweden. And they were in Morocco, and they got killed. They got beheaded, and so on and so forth. And the brother wanted me to speak about it, and I wrote him back, and I gave him some what I deemed to be good advice. This show will be on traps. Of course, all this is always run through the Jewish lens. But we'll get back to that in future shows. Now, what's been going on in our world is this thing where they're trying to cause a war between the Christians and the Muslims. Now, I'm just grabbing this so I can. I've read this before on my show. And it was Pike's plan for three world wars. Okay, so you must realize that the Jews are the cause of all the troubles of the world. And their father, the devil. Well, Mr. Pike was involved in their organization, which is also a trap. Freemasonry is a trap. The green movements, the colleges. If you were to work as a teacher, if you worked in the government or for the government, these are all traps. A journalist, Maybe you're a woman that works for a Jewish baby killer in child ritual murder sacrifice. So you work at an abortion clinic. That's a trap. Race mixing is a trap. The medical system is a trap. Once you get in it, it's hard to get out of it. The mafia is another trap. And I'll explain some of these traps to the best of my ability. But what happens here is, I've explained in past shows that we went to these, what they're trying to do is they're trying to clear out the Middle East for the Jew. But they not only want to clear out the Middle East, they want to kill us as well. And so they decided a long time ago that the Third World War would be between Christians and Muslims. And just by chance, of course, these are the two biggest enemies of the Jews. You say, well, how can the Muslims be enemies of the Jews? Well, they always have been. But they'll still work for the Jew, because many of them are race mixed by Jews and have Jew blood running through their veins. They've always used these techniques with open borders. When Babylon was rushed through, the Jews opened the gates, so to speak, for the enemy to come in. The Byzantine Empire is the same thing. They're just doing the same things they've always done. I'll do a show on borders and explain that to you. But right now, we're talking about traps. And of course, I guess opening the border is another trap. It means the end of your country's coming very quickly. So, the Third World War, according to Pike, must be fomented. See, it has to be brought into fruition. Because it wouldn't have happened naturally, you see. It'll be fomented by taking advantage of the differences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the political Zionists and the leaders of the Islamic world. Now, we know who the political Zionists are, Mr. Hagee, the Orthodox rabbis, etc., etc. Just almost all of Judeo-Christianity is involved in that. And the war must be conducted in such a way that Islam, the modern Arabic world, or whatever you want to say, and political Zionism, the state of Israel, mutually destroy each other, while the other nations, once more divided on this issue, will be constrained to fight to the point of complete physical, moral, spiritual, and economical exhaustion. You can see that that's what's happening, right? I mean, it's very clear that our soldiers are exhausted. Our economy has been exhausted. The morals, we are physically exhausted from all the chaos. And so what has taken place when I say they want to clear out the Middle East? I had told you also within the last 2 years, several times that Netanyahu and somebody else, some other Jew over there, I never remember his name, have decided that they're going to restructure the Middle East. They didn't ask anybody else. They didn't ask Yahweh, they didn't ask nobody. They didn't ask the Muslims, nothing. They just decided they're going to restructure the Middle East. And so we go over there because we are the present Hessian soldiers, so to speak. We're being paid, our militaries and other black operations like Blackwater, etc., etc., are being paid. They're stirring up the Middle East. They're stirring up wars. They're bombing people until they can no longer live in their own places and they leave. Therefore, what can you do after that? You can reorganize it, take it over, change the laws, change the borders, open the borders, whatever you want to do. So they've done all this because we didn't have any problems with the people in the Middle East. We were friendly with relations. And so there's no way to cause a war between friends like that. There's no need to. So the Jews, by using our soldiers from all of our countries, the so-called coalition, they go over there and do harm. I keep talking about how they destroy their trees, their gardens, their homes, their children, their lives. They destroy everything. Can you picture that in your own life? And so these people have to leave their area, and they know that. And they know that they're angry of what has happened to them, and they know who they blame. So what they deliberately do is bring those people into our countries, because this is how you foment a war. See, there could be no war between us and the Muslims, because we just wiped them out in an ordinary type of warfare. They can't compete, as you well have seen in the past few decades, four decades, whatever it is. So they needed to bring the war directly to the people, the Christian people, who don't want war, don't want trouble, don't want any. We want to live our lives in peace. And so the only way to foment this war is to bring them directly here so that they can begin to take their revenge on the peoples, the indigenous peoples of the Israelite countries. And here's how Pike puts it. We shall unleash the nihilists and the atheists, and we shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm. What you're seeing with Antifa, what you're seeing is a bunch of Freemasons, Jews, radical left idiots that have ascribed to these ideologies like communism and so on and so forth. And they have unleashed them upon us. And that in itself is a trap, because now when you go to rebut them or to have a protest of your own, they send these people there to unleash them on you. And he says, and we shall provide a formidable social cataclysm. You see that all over Europe, don't you? Do you see that in France? Do you see that in the streets of the United States? Do you see that in Italy? Do you see that in Sweden? Do you see that in Germany? Do you see it in Spain? Why, yes, you do. Do you see it in South America even? Yes, you do. And they're bringing those people up to the borders, and they want the borders open so that they can unleash these people on us, so that we can have a big social cataclysm. And it says, which in all its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism, origin of savagery, and of the most bloody turmoil. And of course, while that's going on, maybe a few Jews get killed in the process. but most of the Jews are sitting safely behind their walls, their walled homes, and they're laughing because they're watching what they call the goyim, all their enemies kill each other and destroy each other and bloodshed, and they don't have to do it this time like they did in the Bolshevik Revolution or in Armenia. So they're going to let us do it to ourselves. So what is happening here? It's a trap. What is happening here is these half-breed Muslims are crazy to start out with. They're mentally ill to start out with, physically ill, and they're corrupted. Their bodies are corrupted because they're hybrids, most of them, and they are easy to manipulate, like Negroes are, like all hybrids are. And so they're bringing them here to take their revenge upon you and innocent citizens, so that, you see, we have patience like the Father does. And patience is wisdom. I know it appears to be a weakness, but it is wisdom. And so what is happening is we are a very patient people. And we are not going out to attack these people like we could. And maybe someday we should, but you see, that's what the Jew wants. So what this is this is getting rid of, you know how they want to destroy 90% of the population? Well, they can get them to do it to each other without spending big money on planes and bombs. We shall provoke a formidable social cataclysm, which in all of its horror will show clearly to the nations the effect of absolute atheism. We're in an ungodly time now. Origin of savagery and of the most bloody turmoil. Then everywhere the citizens, obliged to defend themselves against the world minority of revolutionaries, will exterminate those destroyers of civilization, and the multitude disillusioned with Christianity, whose deistic spirits will from that moment be without compass or direction, anxious for an ideal, but without knowing where to render its adoration, will receive the true light through the universal manifestation of the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Brought finally out in the public view, this manifestation will result from the general reactionary movement which will follow the destruction of Christianity and atheism, both conquered and exterminated at the same time. Understood now? So this is a trap. And these people are coming in our countries and they're raping our women, they're raping old women, beating up old women, stabbing people. There is no acid attacks. There is no boundary to these people. And the Jews are patiently waiting for the time where we'll run out of our patience and we'll begin to fight in the streets and kill. They're all too ready for it. They've prepared for it. They've got the coffins for it. Yeah, you were told they were for other things, but no, this is what they're for. There'll be a big cleanup after all this in all of our countries, if it ever gets to this. So traps. This is a trap. And dear brother, if you were to take revenge at this moment, that is, you would just end up ending your life. You'll end up in a prison forever, or end up dead, or end up them, you know, putting you in the electric chair or whatever. Yeah, you'll get a small satisfaction from shedding the blood of these enemies, but it will do you no good. Because your other brothers and sisters think this is still a big party here in America. They don't even know they're at war with the Jew, never mind the Muslim. And they think they can just continue on with their vacations and they can continue on their little party and their fake holidays and all these things and just put their head in the sand and it'll all just go away eventually. But it won't. You got to understand a lot of our people that have the compass in them are without compass at this point. It's like me, a voice crying in the wind, in the wilderness. To some, they can hear me clearly, and to others, it's a voice that's very far away from them. Now, when you're talking about traps, women are used as traps, and they're usually Jewish women. Because our women, even though they have a propensity to evil, they still have some kind of a conscience, some kind of a conscience. It may be all twisted up by the Jew. And I'm not talking about all of our women. There are some of our women that are very good and godly women. I'm talking about the ones that might do something like that. The ones that are leftists, that are practically crazy. I mean, really, they are. They're just one heartbeat away from stabbing somebody to death, really. These leftist women of ours. These feminists, etc., etc. They fantasize about killing all white men. Isn't it funny how they don't just want to kill all men, they want to kill just all white men? Did you ever notice that about feminism? See, who's doing all the raping in Europe? See, they don't care about all that. That proves to you that they don't love women. Feminists don't love women. Feminists don't want to protect women because if they did, they would be shouting about all the raping that's going on, and they'd want to kill all men. But no, did you ever notice how they just want to kill white men who aren't doing any of these things? Isn't that amazing? That's what the Jew can do. Now, let me take a sip of coffee while we move along with traps. So women are used as traps, like you saw them being used with Bill Clinton. Sometimes they even invent traps and women go along with it, as you saw with Kavanaugh. They're trying to make sure that men don't want, you know, like for instance, Mike Pence, that's his name, right? Mike Pence. He won't be alone in a room with a woman because he's using wisdom. We're in a time that you're walking through a world of minefields. They wish to trap you with your words. They wish to trap you with your deeds. They wish to trap you so that they can use you and blackmail you. That's what the protocols has always talked about. That's why journalists and politicians would always have something that they've done evil against them so that they, if they get out of line, they can pull the plug without killing them in some cases. Of course, death is another trap. My friend Patrick always talks about how in the end times the table will be our snare. That means it'll be a trap for you. We're eating things that the Father told us not to, out of wisdom, not out of any religious religious thing. And you've been tricked by doctrines of devils, having Peter having a dream about animals, and then that means that all animals are clean. That's not true. It's not true in any way or form or fashion. The dream was about Cornelius and people like Cornelius who Peter was deeming to be unclean people and didn't want to sit at tables with them, etc., etc. Where Christ himself would sit with wine bibbers and so on and so forth, right? So Yahweh was trying to tell him something. He was telling Peter that Cornelius was okay. Because, you see, you got to understand, if the Father said that those foods were unclean back then, they're even worse than they were back then today. They're still land cleaners, sea cleaners. They like a carrion bird eating dead things. Would you want to eat that bird? Well, that's what pigs do. That's what shrimp does. That's what clams do. That's what lobsters do, etc., etc., etc. Catfish. They still do that. So, no, he didn't just decide to make them clean. It's not a religious thing. It has nothing to do with religion. And so the food will be a trap, and it is. Look at our women today. You can still see thin men, but it's hard to find a thin woman. They're just too susceptible to their feelings, and eating is one of the things that they do to comfort themselves when they've been taught to hate man and God and everything else. Men would tend more to drink than to eat. But there are heavy men too. I'm not skinny. I'm in the middle, which is where I like to be. So, if you're a race-mixing woman, or you're a liberal, you're trapping yourselves, and these ideologies and these deeds of race mixing have been shown to be judged over and over and over and over. I mean, ever since I've been doing the news and looking into these matters, we see the mud sharks and the coal burners, you know, race mixing women, being killed by their pets. And many times the offspring, the hybrid offspring, is also killed. This is a form of judgment, in my estimation. And you will see liberal women going to help these so-called refugees in camps and so on, and they'll kill them. Over in Africa, women that went over there to help the Africans, to help feed them, they ended up getting raped and killed. See, the Father is telling you something. He's telling you the opposite of the Jew. He says, judge a man by his color. Judge a man by his religion. You must realize these traps are all around you. Remember that Christ himself had the Pharisees continually try to trap him with questions. They were looking for an answer, and once they got if they got the answer that they were looking for, they felt they would trap him. But of course, he was a lot wiser than they. But today, are you as wise as Christ? Am I? And so if you were to be asked questions in a public arena or so or something like that, you could very well get trapped. Trapped by people that twist words. People that use words as weapons against our race. Like racism and racist. Which they're trying to use this and keep this in the forefront of all discussions around the world. Because they're trying to demonize anybody that loves their own race. Well, not anybody. They're trying to demonize white people that like that love their own race and want to preserve their own race. It's all right in this crazy world all of a sudden, and it's not true that it's all. It's just this is the way. It's okay for any other race, including all the beasts of the field, the Jews, which are the most subtle beasts of the field, to have Jewish Day and do everything for their own race and love their own race. The only one it's wrong for is the white race. Again, why do the feminists want to kill the white man? Why not all men? Those men are raping those women and hurting those women. No, you see, you got to understand something. Think about it. Who's getting raped in the Israelite countries in Sweden's white women? The feminists aren't for white men or white women, dear women. I'm trying to make you understand. They just stopped a woman's march because it was too white. You don't understand what you're dealing with. You're not getting it. You're not. You think that you're part of the solution, but you are the problem in these people's eyes. So if you're white and you're a white woman and you want to help the situation, they'll take your help and use you. But you can see that the true reason they don't care about all the rapes going on in America and all over Europe of white women is because they feel the same way about the white women as they do as the white men. They want to kill all white men. See, just use your common sense. If the coloreds are all doing all the raping and all the killing and all these dirty deeds, why wouldn't these feminist women want to kill them along with the white men? You don't know how to add things up properly. Or, I suppose I'm going to hurt your feelings by saying that. We don't know how to add these things up, pup. No, I know how to add them up. And I'm adding them up correctly. That doesn't mean I'm better than you. Doesn't mean that I'm Mr. Know-It-All, which I have written a song a couple years ago. Listen, I'm trying to help you. Don't get your little feelings all riled up. I keep telling you that your feelings are not as important as you think they are. Neither are mine. Your feelings can be your God. Your feelings can be your guide. And it could lead you right into the wrong things, your feelings, dear people. And I'm trying to warn you against these things for a reason. If you keep race mixing, you're liable to get judged. And you're liable to go off this planet very quickly. It's strange that people don't realize the traps are all around them. War itself is a trap. Money The love of money is a trap. You see, money is something we need. It's not money that's the root of all evil, like I hear people incorrectly say all the time. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. And it's a trap. Women get trapped into going into these colleges to be given Marxist ideologies and feminist ideologies, which is the one and the same anyway. And they begin to hate their own race, hate men, which traps them in wrong kinds of relationships. See, there's not only the race-mixing ones, but there's the homosexual ones. Drugs are a trap. There are so many traps out there. The only way you can escape these traps is through wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, I believe. Wisdom would tell you, for instance, let me read you a couple of scriptures. Okay, this one is Proverbs 1. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. You know, I had wondered about that so many times. But you see, if a bird is watching, if you're awake, if you can see, then the traps that are set for you most likely will be in vain. It's when you're asleep and you're a zombie and you're walking that you fall right into these types of traps. He says before this, he says, the fear of Yahweh is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, which they're trying to trap you, consent thou not. See, there's our problem in our world today. We consent to all these things. If they say, come with us, let us lay wait for blood. Let us lurk privily at the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave and whole as those that go down into the pit. We can find all precious substance. We can fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, we will let us all have one purse. My son, here's your advice. Walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird, you see. This is the advice to my brother. You see, it will do you no good to take a revenge on these people. You'll just end up having revenge taken right back on you. And nothing will have been solved except they could use that against the rest of us that are living. And use it as a tool. 18, it says, and they lay wait for their own blood and lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. which taketh away the life of the owners thereof. Wisdom crieth out, she uttereth her voice in the streets. One more that gives a testimony to that as well. Proverbs chapter 6. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. See, we're not supposed to. We're supposed to be guarding our lips as men of Yahweh and women of Yahweh. And yes, we all wrestle against swearing, but we must be overcomers. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet like Freemasons. He teaches with his fingers like Jews do and Italians that have the Jew blood. He speaketh with his feet. He winketh with his eyes. You get it? There are certain positions to put your fingers in when you're doing pictures, right? That speak messages. He teacheth with his fingers. He speaketh with his feet. If you hold your foot at a 90 degree, I think it's a 90 degree angle. It speaks something to the judge from the Freemasonic lawyer. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. Now here's the main part I wanted to read you that I always love to say. These six things doth Yahweh hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. They're an abomination. Before I even tell you what they are, they are an abomination to him. A proud look. How many people do you see, Negroes, etc., etc., giving this proud look? Yahweh hates that. It's an abomination to him. A lying tongue. And hands that shed innocent blood. You see, when you're part of the military and you're going over there and you're working for the Jew and you're a mercenary like this, and you're over there and you're shedding innocent blood, you are an abomination. And no abomination shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but shall have his part in the fire, which is the second death. So you may be praying to Jesus before you go murder, but you're not praying to the Father or to the real Jesus. You're praying to a Jewish Jesus, which most likely is Lucifer. Excuse me. Verse 18. So those are three things that are an abomination: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. 18. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that sows discord, or soweth discord, among the brethren. Again, his advice: my son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? See, the woman is a trap. Funny, I didn't even know that was there. And this all just seems to... The Father just works all these things out. It's just amazing. It brings tears to your eyes when you realize that the Father is there instructing within the message even. You see, I will say one thing here, and that is, for the commandment is a lamp and the law is a light, but not the laws of that aren't Yahweh's laws, in the sense of these Jews have brought Talmudic law to our land. So the laws, these hate laws, etc., are not light. They're darkness. You see, they're the opposite of what the Father's laws are. The commandment is a lamp. It means it lights the way for you. It means that it shows you the way to keep yourself from the darkness. And the law is light, he says. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. Yes, a few tears come to my eyes. I'm not a crying baby. But the Father's love and his counsel is just overwhelmingly good. How else could I put it? And so he's telling you the woman is a trap here. When you're in the military and they say, let's go shed innocent blood, you go with them. You're cooked, brother. It's you're an abomination to the Father. I talked about, and we'll expand on Revelation 21:8. I really gave it some real justice and really brought light to it. Or should I say, glory to the Father, as always, he brought the light to it. And he showed you just how deep that verse is. However, we can get even deeper. Because we just saw that these other... You know, it says abominations will not... Well, I told you hybrids are abominations. There are so many abominations that I didn't touch upon them all. And so to get you to... Now listen, I know Phineas was right when those two race mixes were mixing in the tent and before the people of Israel and before Yahweh's eyes, which he's always watching, his children, he took the pole and put it right through them, the javelin. But we're in a different time. He was decreed a priesthood after that. He was not taken to the chair and taken to court. His judgment was righteous and right. Today, if we had somebody do that, this would be a story that would go on and on and on and on forever on how incorrect this Phineas would be. You must realize that you're living in a time where the ever-living God would be construed as an anti-Jew. He would be construed as a hater, a racist. You understand that they're setting you all up with these words. They're going to eventually determine the scriptures to be a racist material and outlaw it if you keep letting them use these words, racist and racism and all this stuff. What they're doing with these terms is they're demonizing them. These are not terms that are to be demonized. These are just a couple of words that these Jews have picked, and they're using all their media and all their nihilists and atheists, etc., etc., to demonize the world. They're going to keep it in the public eye and keep it in the public eye and demonize like they do with the Germans. There's no truth to any of that. And there's no truth that racism or race, being a racist, is evil. They're trying to make it the most evil thing in the world because, of course, the Germans were construed to be racists, you understand? So now they can build upon that. However, you need to be word savvy. You need to understand how the enemy operates, and we need to turn these words around and use them against them. Because we know if there is an evil determination to racist, we know that the Jews hate all the races. We know that the Negroes hate all the races as well. And it sure seems like the Muslims hate all the races. They don't stop at beasts of the field or a man. They even hate dogs. And so do Negroes seem to hate them, a lot of them too. They're always kicking dogs and harming them. Cats as well. Innocent animals trying to shed innocent blood. So these traps are all around you. Word traps, woman traps. They're called honey traps. This is why that you need to be in the counsel of the Father. You must begin to read His Word. You must begin to digest His Word. And it must live within you. For it will be a protection for you. It will teach you how to navigate the minefield that this world is today. You must realize that when you read about the Pharisees trying to trap Yeshua, Jesus, he knew how to navigate. You must learn how to navigate. Anybody can get caught in traps. I mean, it's, you know, part of life. But if you want to give yourself a chance, you must know the Father's Word. You must love the Father's Word. You must seek the truth so the truth will set you free from falling into these traps. I often say this to people. Set you free from what? If you seek the truth will set you free from what? See, that's a question. I'm not trying to ridicule what's being said. I'm trying to make you think of, well, what will it save you from? It'll save you from the same things the instruction of your mother and father will save you from. It'll give thee long life. It'll give you peace when you sleep. Unfortunately, what the world has done to the women of our world, when I see beautiful women now, I don't any longer, say, lust at them. I think they're beautiful, but it's come to the point where I feel that these modified women of the devil have become the enemy of man. And that doesn't, don't, other women don't take that wrong. Because it's just a portion of the women that I'm talking about. They've become the enemy of mankind. In the same way as Eve, for a while, was the enemy. In the sense where she did what she did. The first act she did was a traitorous act. But it was the most subtle beast of the field. How could you blame her? How would she have known? And in the end of things, Eve was a good wife. And she was able to prove herself, you know, a good wife. But when I see women today with their eyelids, etc., etc., it's never been like this. This is of recent. I look at it like I'm looking at the enemy. When I see what these women are doing in the Israelite countries, and they want to protect these people, and they want to bring them in, they want to destroy their own men, etc., etc., they're enemies. And a lot of those women aren't even beautiful either. They're certainly not beautiful on the inside. I saw a Jewish woman recently who I knew wasn't beautiful on the outside, but man, she was ugly on the inside, boy. And I didn't even need very long to determine this. Evil is ugly, man. And so it is. But evil can also be beautiful. And flattery is a trap as well. I never got to speak on all the traps. Maybe I should do another show on it as well. I don't know. But flattery is a trap. And there are those out there that would use this to win you over to them. And this includes women. It says to keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. But it's not only women who use flattery. I told you that flattery is a big part of Freemasonry. And the Jew will use this false flattery to win you. One must be very, very astute. And I'm not telling you to tiptoe through the tulips, but you may wish to walk a bit more carefully and take heed to where you put your foot down. I'd say that's good advice. And I would not give you counsel, evil counsel, because I love and know the good counsel. Again, as I always say, once you know the original, the lies fall by the wayside, the imitations. Not that I could never be tricked, but it's much less likely the more I get to know the Father's Word and the real truth and the real light. I will speak with you again, and this show went rather fast. Yahweh bless you and protect you, and may He give you the wisdom and knowledge to get through the minefield known as this world.
edge of day, engaged in play. I've walked the miles, I've been a child. Now I'm a man, I've reached the age, just doing my best to break the cage. Left in a world so full of doubts, I've wondered what it's all about. The rain fell hard on your facade, you kept it hid inside your jar. And the owls don't know. The pull of God, it only yields to those out working in the field. The trees are tall, the grass will grow, until from all there is to know. The bud is young, the stem is weak, the fool is left only to see. The crazy ways of other days will bring us back to the same place. And the owls don't know why the glowworm glows. And the owls don't know that it just